Welcome to Raise Your Vibe and Heal. Thank you for choosing to spend time with me today. My name is Lisa Snyder. As an energy channel, healer, and certified breathwork coach, my intention is to help you connect to the healer within. Our guest today is my friend and author, Marlene McNaughton. Her new book, Lost Soul, How I Became a Lightworker Medium, is her personal journey of opening up and communicating with loving spirits she never knew existed. She shares how she meets her personal guides and learns to believe in the existence of angels and the messages they wish to share. And today, she shares her journey and messages with us. It is my honor and my deepest pleasure to welcome Marlene McNaughton to the podcast. Hello, Marlene.
Hi. Oh, Lisa, thank you so much for this opportunity. I am just so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, my friend. It has been so much fun just watching you on your personal journey since we first met, and people we know and watching. We were just talking right before we started this that the conversations we are having today probably weren't happening 5 years ago. Wouldn't you agree? It just seems
I totally agree. In fact, the spirits did say that there's a movement. And what they meant by that, there's a movement of people awakening to remember who they are, that we are spirit, we are souls, and we are of spirit, and people are awakening to remember this. So it's really a wonderful time right now.
100%. I agree with that. Now, so you wrote this beautiful book, Lost Soul, which, by the way, we will be putting that in the show notes so people can get that link directly on being able to get that off of Amazon and your contact information. But how did your spiritual journey get started and get you involved in writing this book?
Well, it's really interesting because writing a book was the last thing I thought I would ever do. It just wasn't something that I had. I had no idea how to do it. And actually, it kind of amazes me that you even have that book in your hand myself, because I just had to keep taking one step in front of the other. And I just was very blessed. And by the grace of God, that a lot of special people showed up in my life that made it possible. So I'm very appreciative. It was really a collaborative effort. And from the physical world and the non-physical world as well. So I'm very grateful to have had this loving opportunity to do it.
It's amazing how spirit will tap us on our shoulder and introduce us to, yes, you're going to write a book. Or in my case, yes, you're going to be channeling ancient dialects. It's like, wait, what? You know, 10 years ago, we would never thought we'd be having this conversation via a platform we probably would have never heard of. But yet here we are today. So let's talk a little bit about first of all, for those of us who haven't read your book, and I really enjoyed your book, why did you write this book? What made you decide you're going to start this book? You just all of a sudden had an epiphany and you said, I'm going to sit down and write this book. I mean, what happened?
What happened was the COVID quarantine. Okay. I'm not a person that I do not consider myself a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I've just had minimal exposure to organized religion throughout my life. As a young child, I went to Sunday school and I loved it, but I didn't go often. But I went enough that I learned about God. I learned about Jesus, learned about Mother Mary. And that was my foundation of my beliefs, just love from God, Mother Mary, and Jesus. And I did later become involved in a religion. I joined a religion as a young adult, but it just didn't resonate with me. And so I quit going. I only did that for a couple of years. But I believed in spirit. I've had paranormal events happen in my life. I know people that have had them. It was in my life undeniable that there wasn't something more than meets the eye. And so it was just always a curiosity to me. And I do share a couple incidents that happened in my life in my book. But during COVID, I had this wonderful downtime to take a step back from my life. And just I just dedicated the time to go on a spiritual journey. And it led to me communicating with spirits, communicating with the source energy, and I was guided to do the book. The spirit guides, well, spirit guides in general will not tell you to do anything. They, spirit guides are there to help you. But so they didn't say, Marlene, you will do a book. What was said is that my spirit guide said, there will be a book. And I was like, okay, am I going to do a book? Yes. So they'll answer you, but they won't tell you what to do. And then I was like, okay, well, is this book going to be channeled to me? And I was told, no, you are to write about your experience. Because I was hoping it was going to be channeled, because I was like, when I'm told I'm going to do a book, what am I going to do a book about? But so, but they gave me the material to put in the book. It just, I wasn't aware what was forthcoming, and it just was amazing.
Okay. So now you're talking about this information was given to you. Did you hear it? Did you see it? Did you feel it? How did you get into this downloads of information? Because you definitely have a lot of wonderful wisdom and information in this book. It's just like, how did it appear to you?
It actually, I'm really glad you asked that, because it came in an unusual way. A lot of people do books and the information is channeled. They just get downloads of information and then they write the books. But I was using a spirit communication tool, which was the pendulum. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you have to know what you're doing. And I write about that in the book. It's not something I don't even advocate it now, even though I wrote this wonderful book with it. It's just because it's not necessary. We are to connect with the spirits from our heart. You don't need a communication tool to do it. But I was given this opportunity to ask them questions by using the pendulum. And they gave me this nickname of Quill, because, and I have to say that for 15 years, I worked in the legal field, and I was a secretary, and I was a legal assistant. I did a lot of transcription. I did transcribing. So it's interesting that they kind of used something that I was comfortable with that helped me to be able to do the book. Because what I would do is I had an alphabet chart and I would use the pendulum, and they came through and I would ask questions and they would answer it. But it was very, very, it took a lot of time, because I had to go back and then transcribe them, because the alphabet chart, it would pick one letter at a time. And I just would put the session on recording and go back and transcribe it. And that's where I got the information from the book, from the sessions, but very time consuming.
Yes, it would be. And I like what you said earlier too, regardless of whatever tool we're using, I just want to share with the listeners that, whatever tool we're using, whether it's a pendulum or whether it's a divination rods or using your voice, I always encourage people to be very specific with their intention. And so, for example, whenever I channel, I set the intention always that we're connecting with the energies of divine source of love and light. And this is really important, because we live in the land of duality. There has to be balance between the positive and what we associate as the negative. And so when we're working with spirit, we want to make sure we're setting boundaries and working with what we are referring to as divine source of love and light, the high vibrational frequency energies. We don't want any chaos coming through those channels. Just like we are flipping through the channels on the TV, we can find stuff that's like really positive, or we can find some stuff that's going to bring us down. We want to tune into those really high vibrational frequencies, because we're getting the best, purest source of information we possibly can. And so I love that you mentioned that, you know, you're careful as far as what you advise people with the tools that you use. But you did find a tool. You were being shown, given some great messages. And, you know, when you were talking about religious versus spiritual, that kind of comes.
I just want to say that, Lisa, you inspired me that I always set the intention to only communicate with the highest source of love and life, the highest vibration. So every single time I use the pendulum, I always set that intention. So thank you for bringing that up. I just wanted to let that be known.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I learned that from some energy workers that I've worked with, that, you know, just being very intentional with the energies that we work with. So thank you. I appreciate that. So now you're talking about, you consider yourself a spiritual person, not a religious person, which we can talk about when we think of God and we think of source. So we're starting to use those terms in different ways, interchangeable. Some of us like to say source, some of us like to say God. What are your thoughts on that, or what was shared with you regarding that?
Well, my spirit guides taught me, I still use God because of habit. And it's just, so I use the word God, but I do use it interchangeably with the word source, because the loving spirits did tell me they prefer to use the word source, because they said that there's just too many untrue beliefs that are attached to the name God. So when I use the name God, I'm not attaching any untrue beliefs. When I use the name God, I am in the my belief is that God is just solely loving. He's all love. So that's why I'm comfortable with using the word God, even though my spirit guide said they prefer to use the word source energy.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. So you just mentioned God, and you referred to as a he, and that's probably by habit, or just it's easier to say that. Can we talk about a little bit what, if your guides made any, a distinction between, are we male? Are we female in spirit? And why we're male or why we're female here when we choose to have a human incarnation?
Actually, I had this conversation with Archangel Michael, and Archangel Michael taught
me. Love Michael.
Yes, yes. Oh, he's amazing. And Archangel Michael taught me that he said that both genders are very important in heaven. And I believe God is both genders. He's gender neutral. But I use he just, again, out of habit. But I do say in my book, even though I use the male pronoun, my belief system is that source is female and male energy. It's like that yin yang. We need both energies. And actually, I was told that, because we are so powerful, people do not understand as human beings the power we have. And they said that a lot of our power comes from prayer. We can actually change heaven and earth through the gift of prayer. It's just by setting our intention. So, but they explained to me that before we are born, we create a blueprint or a life's plan, and that we choose our gender. And we choose our gender based on what gender energy we feel will be best to accomplish the goal that we set when we come here, because we come here for a reason. We're just not dropped into this earth just to, you know, try and swim, make it through. But no, we have a goal to accomplish, but we have a veil over us that we don't remember that. And my guides, one of the first things they said is you need to awaken to remember who you really are. So people do need to awaken to remember who they really are.
I love what you said earlier too about how powerful we are. Sometimes we feel like, who am I? Especially if we accidentally or intentionally get caught up in the drama and the trauma of what's going on and what's being shown to us through various media outlets. And I'm not saying bury your head in the sand, but at the same time, there really needs to be balance in our lives. And it feels like there's a lot of an imbalance these days that we're so hyper-focused by, I don't know if there's an agenda, there could be, that's another conversation. But really, when we get out of balance, and we find ourselves in that fearful state, we are stepping out of our power. We are divine beings of love and light. And I love that you mentioned about the powerful, because we, with our intentions, we can change everything. We can
change the direction we're going in,
right? The direction we're going in, how it's affecting the humanity, other planetary dimensions, Mother Earth. It's just, so I like that you mentioned that, how powerful we are, because I think a lot of us forget sometimes when we get caught up in the day-to-day things.
Yes.
That we think we're not powerful. So go ahead.
I was taught too that the challenges we have in our lives, we're just climbing hills, and we're meant to. They're just the challenges in our life. And my guy just looked at me, and then we climb them, and then we succeed, and then we move on. So this is meant. We're supposed to have hills in our life, but if that hill is too steep, we can hand over whatever we have that's on our plate over to Source Energy and say, please take the wheel, help me and help guide me. And you'll get help. If you ask from your heart, you'll get help. So we're never alone. And actually, a message I was given is that people need to not ask why. So if there's a tragic situation that's happened in their life, God doesn't create these tragic situations. We're living in a material world, and people, human beings, are choosing situations that create tragic situations. God would not create a tragic situation. God is all loving, so that's impossible. So people need to understand that they can hand it over to God, and he will help us, and not to ask why, but to ask, please help me. Mm-hmm. And I was told that was really important to them, that people know that you can ask for us to help you, but do not believe that God did this. And actually, I said we. So I want to just give, I want to read what I was told the definition is of Source, so that, because when I was using the word we, because I do believe that Source is a collective. Mm-hmm. So I was told that Source is a collective of loving spirits who previously lived, that acquired their vast experiences in love and mastered understanding time and time again. So God is one. God is a whole. We're oneness, but we are of the male energies, the female energies. We are. That was the other message, that we are all one. And actually, that's on the first page of my book. That was a very important message. We are all one. They said it's really important that people know that.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. And our actions, our thoughts affect more than we have any concept of. I mean, it's amazing how just even our thoughts can affect so much.
Yes.
Do you have any favorite spirit messages from the book that you'd like to share with us today?
Actually, the We Are One was, they did so many, but
that's the big one.
Right. And then prayer is so important, was really important to understand that it's such a gift to be able to pray, because if we create energy, because we're energy beings, mm-hmm. and prayer creates energy. And I was actually taught that, say there is a tragic situation that happens and we don't understand it, we are not to get angry about it, but we are to ask that loving energy be sent to the situation. Because when people send love to this situation, it can diffuse it. It can help the people involved. Opposed to if you get angry, I was told that anger will go to the situation and it will make that situation thrive and become even stronger in the negative energy. So that's something that people need to know, that if there's something going on out there and you feel you don't understand it and it's a very negative situation, send loving energy to it. And as a collective, when you have a lot of people joining together doing that, it's going to make a difference.
That is really needs to be underscored big time, because when we're in that state of prayer, gratitude, and we're in that state of love, and we're in that state of oneness, we are stepping into our power. And when we are aligning ourselves with anger, which is fear, which is the ego based, not our true source being, we're also stepping into a different type of power. So as powerful beings, when we align ourselves with divine source of love and light, when we send love to a situation, we are bringing hope and peace and really helping to raise the overall vibrational frequency for mm-hmm. all that's involved. That's a really important message that you just brought forward. So
we're raising the vibration of the universe, because we're all connected. We are all connected. Yes.
100%. It's funny, because the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know, but then we learn more and then it's like, wow.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not just a cute little saying that we're all connected. We're all one. It has been scientifically proven that our thoughts can change the structure of atoms, but when we're looking at them, and it's been proven. And also you can feel like you can tell when somebody comes into a room and you extend love and that person receives it, the whole energy just shifts. You don't even have to touch them. You can just send love. And if they're in a state where they can receive that love, the whole energy, the whole mood can shift. So just where we are very, very powerful beings. I 100% agree with that. Okay. So you also talk about the Holy Trinity. Can you talk a little bit about the Holy Trinity and why is that important?
Yes, that was really interesting because my belief system was the Holy Trinity was part of religion, and it's not. It's just love. The Holy Trinity is love. So I was really surprised when they taught me that the Holy Trinity, which for people who are not familiar with it, is the Father, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I was taught that the Holy Trinity is how we can exist eternally. They said if one facet was missing, we could not live eternally. And something else that I found really interesting is if you read, it's just, you'll hear people say things in threes a lot. Mm-hmm. And my guides kept saying, trust. And I was like, I think I do trust. And I was trying to understand why this word was being said, not frequently, but occasionally. And then I finally said, is there a reason that you say the word in triplicate, you know, trust? Is there an importance to this series of three? And my guide said, yes. And I said, are you putting the energy in of the Holy Trinity? And he said, yes. So I thought that, you know, because then I was reading online and I guess biblically there are times that words are said three times and people are saying, oh yeah, they just say that for emphasis. And I'm like, no. They choose their words, you know, anytime, you know, a divine being uses a word, there's meaning behind it. So I knew there had to be some meaning when the word trust was repeated three times. So
that's, that was eye-opening to me when I read that, because I know that myself personally, I like the number three, but I also like to say, when I say thank you, a lot of times I'll go, thank you. And not even realizing that I, you know, said that in three. So it's, I didn't know that till I read your book. Yeah. All right. How is energy created?
Well, how is energy created? That's a good question. I know that we are spiritual beings. You might have to help me out here because I believe we're spiritual beings and we create energy just by our choices. We've been given the gift of free will, and what we choose, if we choose something negative, we will create lower energy. If we choose to say something loving or do something loving, we create loving energy. So, and I was taught everything we've ever done. Some people might not be comfortable with this. Everything we've ever done, every thought we've ever had in our life, everything is on record in heaven. And they said it's like a movie. And everything we've ever done, every word we've ever said creates energy. So it was eye-opening how mindful we have to be with the words we choose. Because even the words we choose, if you're using lower energy words, you're creating lower energy in your soul.
Yes. Yeah. Very true. Energy is constant. Energy is already there. What we're choosing to align with, whether we're going to increase what we're experiencing and feeling, we can be in this state of imbalance again. Like we were talking earlier, how if we're aligning with the gloom, the doom, the terrible, the awful, I mean, I can just feel my body starting to shrink as I say those words. Mm-hmm. And then when you think of prayer and gratitude and love and joy, you can feel what you're aligning with. And so when we're aligning with the energy of those words, the power words, the power that we are, we're aligning with God. We're aligning with source instead of the ego energy of lower vibrational frequencies, which another conversation.
I love that you say that because that's so true. So if you're having a bad day and like, say you got cut off on the expressway or something, and you're just not feeling like yourself, you're feeling out of sorts, that's being out of alignment with source. And that's our cue. to make that we can choose to get in alignment with source. And so now my view on expressways is different. Where, but you know, before I'd be like, oh, that person's crazy, this or that. But now it's like, you know, that person's probably having a really bad day. I'm going to send him love and energy. I mean, you just try, you know, you try to have a different, well, you, since I've had my experience, I just have a totally different view on things. You know, it's just been amazing understanding how powerful we are as beings and the energy we create.
And being reminded of, many teachers have talked about this, including the late Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's of course still very alive in his spirit. And I just heard one of his messages on something I follow, and he's talking about, it is also a principle of A Course in Miracles, where you're observing your thoughts and you're observing the thoughts that go through your head or your brain. And you can notice the thoughts that automatically come in, and that those of, not in alignment with source, that they, you know, they're aligning with ego. So if you, like you said, if you want to, like, your automatic reaction to somebody who would have cut you off in traffic, you may still observe those thoughts going through your mind, but you choose to take a loving action. So instead of aligning with those automatic thoughts that are, you can observe them and go, well, that's interesting, but I'm going to choose to send love and radiate love because I'm choosing to stand in my power. And I'm choosing to align with source. So that is your, that I thought was pretty cool when I was being reminded of that the other day. It's like, because I've noticed that. Have you noticed that where all of a sudden you'll have a thought that kind of goes through your head and it's like, no, I'm not going to align with that.
Exactly. That old programming. That can keep moving. Well, you want to send it loving energy because it will change. It can change. In fact, I've learned that we can change the land even. If land has negative energy and you pray on it, it can actually change the land.
I had an experience once. I'll make this really brief because this is not about me, but I just want to share an experience. I've had three different experiences that have really just showed me the importance of how healing the land and sending our love is so important from Mother Earth as well. And also our actions. The one that really stood out was a few years ago, about 7 years ago or so, I was on vacation with my daughter, Laura, and we went to Little Bighorn. And for those of you who don't remember, that's where the conflict was with Custer and the Native Americans. And it's interesting because you hear one story from the history books, but then when you're there, you hear from the Native American park rangers a little bit of a different story, but that's for another day. Where I'm going with this is that before I realized the importance of being really grounded with my energy, and this was a lesson for me to learn about energy, which we're talking about here. Laura and I were walking down to where the greatest conflict was, and there were many deaths in this one particular area. And as we were walking down the path, I started to get really dizzy and nauseous, and I had to sit down. That didn't affect her, but she said at the same time as I heard, hold on to Laura's hand, because she was able to kind of help ground me in that situation. And then as we got away from that spot, I started to feel, I felt like a normal, balanced person. And the energy from that conflict was still in the area. Now, as I'm saying this, I feel like I'm supposed to do some work with that. So thanks for the reminder about that. And all of us, we can send love to that land or any lands that we are aware of, that there have been conflicts or some serious,
Next monthly session, let's send as a group some energy to that land.
All right, let's do that. Well, there's also a spot in the Hoover Dam. There's also a spot in Portland. Yes, the energy does get carried on the land. So blessing our land, sending love to Mother Earth, all really, it's interesting. I see these little flickers that go across the screen here, and it happens during these lives, I feel like, or these sessions. I feel like the energy of what we're talking about is just wanting to come in and say, we support what you two are talking about in this moment. That's so wonderful. For those of you who are watching this, you might see an occasional blip going across.
You saw it on the screen.
That happens when I'm working with somebody or we're having a conversation such as this and we're tapping into that love. Okay, so can we talk a little bit about what you learned about the existence of hell? Is it a real thing or is it not a real thing? What did you learn?
Yeah, I learned we create our own heaven. And we create our own heaven by the choices we make in our life and our belief system. And I learned there is no hell, but if people choose to believe they are separated from source, from God, they can create a hellish environment for themselves. If they have no belief system, that's what they're going to have when they transition from the physical world to the non-physical world. They're going to have an existence of nothingness because they created it. And if in their lifetime they chose to create negative energy instead of loving energy, I was taught that we transition when we are done with our bodies. That's how they referred to it. When we are done with our bodies and we leave the physical world and go to the non-physical world, we carry with us all the energy that we created in our lifetime. It becomes a part of us as a spirit. So, and what happens is, as I understand it, is that then I am a spirit in my soul, Marlene, your spirit and your soul, Lisa. And I don't know if I'm getting off track on this, but
you're great. You're doing great.
Well, Marlene can never be reincarnated. And I'll get into that. That's what I mean. So I don't mean to get off into the reincarnation, but Marlene can never be reincarnated, but my soul can choose to reincarnate. And what I was taught about reincarnation is that our soul has many, many previous experiences. We call them past lives. They said that's from a human perspective. But our soul has many, many previous experiences. And I don't believe, and they're not all just human experiences. Because the guides I spoke with, they said, we want you to understand that we are earth spirits. So, and they were letting me know that there were spirits other than just earth spirits. But anyway, so what happens is that we learn all these experiences throughout our lives as human beings. And then say you had a life of struggle and fear and such, you're going to bring that lower energy with you to your soul as your spirit. Well, now what happens then is the soul can choose to reincarnate. And what happens then is that every previous experience in the soul, there's a part of it that is taken from each previous experience that collectively becomes a new consciousness. And that new consciousness of the soul chooses a body and makes a blueprint and has a plan and to come to earth. It's so a baby is born, but it's a new consciousness. But this is how we are all connected. So we are one with all our previous experiences because we are a part of each previous experience. And then, so when the new baby comes and the baby chooses their personality and such, then that person who we are now, we as human beings can choose to help our souls. So say there's negative energy in our soul. I was taught we can remove this stagnant energy. We can, through the gift of prayer, and it's not difficult. It's just setting an intention and doing prayers. And it was, I do explain this more in my book, but it's so easy for us to do that. And that's what we're here for, because we're such powerful beings that we can do that. And actually, I was even told that we need to pray for our ancestors because we need to have respect for our DNA. And our DNA can hold trauma too. That's been proven. And so I was taught to pray for our ancestors, and because we're here right now because of our ancestors. I mean, and we have heat in our house and, you know, lights. I mean, not everybody, but I'm saying that technology is where it is because of people, you know, our ancestors. And so we have these comforts, but we need to pray for their souls that if they happen to transition with, like you were saying, the people from, you know, that land that had that negative energy, if those people, transitioned with that lower energy and that someone's ancestors, you want to pray for them to remove that, because we have, because human beings are so powerful with our prayer that we can do that. That's not something they can do in heaven. I was told there are ways that you can ascend in heaven, but not like you can now in as a human being, that we can help ourselves to ascend so much more than once you're in heaven. You don't have that opportunity because there's no contrast in heaven to create that growth.
So it's worth doing the work. It's worth having these. And you know, when we have these experiences, when we have relationships that go south, or we have, you know, we have different illnesses, we have different injuries, or we see these things that are happening around us, how we choose to react, how we choose to, what we choose to align with, whether we're going to choose to align with our source energy, our power, or we're going to choose to align with the ego, which is not of love and light. It's not of source energy. It's our creation. But it is, getting off track here with my topic, but it's just really important what we're choosing to align ourselves with. And the DNA, very, very, I saw during circles and during individual healings, it would start off looking like a infinity symbol or the number 8, and then it started to spin, and I realized we're working with DNA strands. And so when we talk about our ancestral healing and we're talking about the importance of us doing our own personal work, as we do our own personal work and we're setting the intention of aligning with love and we're sending prayers for our ancestors and we're asking for energy blocks to be released, we're helping not only the ancestors that came before us, we're changing our DNA and we're helping to change the future generations. Of course, it's all happening at once, but for the sake of linear time doing our personal work, getting back to that personal power and what we're choosing to align with is so important. It is so important. Removing the blocks so that source energy can work through us even more powerfully is just, it's just so, again, I keep using the word so important, but it really is.
And that's why it's so important for us to wake and to remember who we are so we can do these things. That's why it's so important. And actually, this is kind of getting off on topic too, but when you said the DNA, it just popped in because this wasn't something, because my whole experience was mainly about soul growth. That was what I was taught about, reincarnation and soul growth. And but at one point, a question was asked actually from a community member, and it was about Atlantis. And Archangel Michael, so I said, was Atlantis real? Because before my experience, I thought it was a myth. And he said, yes, it was real. And I said, he said the Atlanteans were first man, but they had Pleiadian DNA. Now, this was even new to me about Pleiadians. And I guess there's also other Arcturians. So Archangel Michael said that they had Pleiadian DNA. And then I said, well, where would that be now in the world? You know, where was Atlantis, located? And he told me in San Maria, Portugal. Well, I knew nothing about Portugal. I knew nothing about Atlantis, to be honest, I just did a quick search. And it turned out there is a Santa Maria, Portugal. Now, and he deliberately spelled S-A-N, and I looked it up, and it turns out that I guess San is a male energy and Santa is the female energy, but there is a place called Santa Maria, Portugal, and then there's like 4 different places where they believe the Atlantis was, and one of the places is Santa Michael, Portugal, which happens to be like 50 miles away from this location. So I just thought that was talking about DNA. That's about all I got into the DNA. And that I was told that one of my spirit guides said, we share the same DNA or there's DNA we share. So our guides must share DNA, because I'm sure I'm not alone on that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Do you have any, I know you in the book, you mentioned some validations you receive from your sessions with your guides. Is there one that I would love for you to share if you wouldn't mind. Our mutual friend, Monica, I would love for you to share that story, please. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes. My, our dear friend, Monica, I had just met her and, I'm so appreciative that she didn't think I was a crazy person because my experience was just starting. And instead of thinking I was crazy, she gave me her complete support. And the two of us, we were going to the same, actually, we had a similar mentor and there was going to be a, we're going to go to Sedona for a retreat. And I reached out to her and said, do you want a room together? Cause it's just like, you know, we're going the same place. We were seeing each other all the time in a community setting online. And since it was COVID, every day you're seeing, you know, I was seeing them more than my friends I've known for, you know, 50 years. And so I said to her, would you want a room together? And then I was like, I talked to my, at the time I was communicating with a friend of mine who had passed from cancer 20 years ago with the pendulum. And I was told I could only communicate with my loved ones. But I asked my friend who I was communicating with at the time, could you give Monica a validation that what I'm doing is real? Because she's so kindly going to room with me and I don't want her to think I'm crazy. And she said, sure. And I was actually on the phone, I think, with Monica at the time. And then my friend, who's deceased through the pendulum spell, Monica has a cat in her bar. Monica has a cat in her bar and a rooster in her kitchen. And Monica lives in Colorado, and I'm from Chicago, so I've never been. I don't have a bar in my house. And Monica says, wait a minute, I got to send you a picture. And so she takes a picture and she opened up her bar cabinet and in it was a cat mug. And then underneath it, she took a plaque of a rooster from her kitchen and put under it. And so, and then she said, and there's also a dog mug somewhere in the cabinet. I just don't know where it is. I was given it as a gift. So it was really lovely to have that validation that Monica knew that, you know, what I was experiencing was real.
I don't think it was just for Monica. I think it was also for you because that was still pretty early on in your
In
your journey, right? And that's
But I believed. In my heart, I already believed, but I felt I needed that validation to prove to others. So it was really lovely. Yeah, and I had another one from our community with a friend who had lost her husband a couple of years before. And my friend, I asked if I could do a session with her so she'd know her husband's still with. And I was given the okay to do so. And it was interesting because the messages didn't all seem to jive. And but once she said, well, can you figure out my husband's can you say my husband's nickname? And I was told Little Toy Man. I'm like, this doesn't sound right. And I said it in the woman, her name's Jenny, so sweet. And she just kind of, no, that wasn't a name. I said, well, yeah, I didn't think it was, but you know, this is what I was told. Well, then my friend said he collected little cars. And then she was like, oh, yes, he had a collection of small cars. And she said, when he passed, she said, I had such a hard time getting rid of them because they're so precious to him. And she sent me a picture of the two she saved from his collection. So it was really lovely that I was sent that too.
Yeah. It's not something you knew. It's something that you were able to get you were able to get the validation from.
Oh, yes. So it was lovely.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do you have any final messages that you would like to share with the listeners today?
Let's see.
What that we haven't already covered.
I know. Let's see.
You've had some really good thoughts.
Yes. I was told, which I thought was something interesting. I was told our soul and our spirit are separate beings, but one together, and that they share a common goal, which is to return to source. And actually, this is a pretty big message because I was told that reincarnation is very real and we keep coming back in order to choose to have our soul become a loving soul. And the reason for that is because we want to go home. We want to go home to source now. We're all a part of source. And our soul, if it carries any lower energy, because of the universal law of like attracts like, we cannot return home. So what what we're here to do is we are here to have our souls become a loving soul so that our soul and our spirit, the Holy Spirit, can return home to our place with Source. So that, I think, would be my final parting words.
Love is the answer.
Love is the answer. Love is the answer. That is so true.
Oh, yeah. So once again, Marlene's book is Lost Soul, How I Became a Lightworker Medium. And it looks like this. Marlene, where can we purchase your book?
It is currently on Amazon, and I'm in the process probably by next week. So by the time this is aired, the Audible book will be out. So, I found a great narrator. I just love her. So, yes, I'm just really excited.
Oh, that is fantastic. Congratulations to you. And I will make sure to put a link for your book in the description of the show notes. And do you have any, are you on social media? Do you have a website, or is there any other way we can reach you? Or
I have to be honest, I didn't even have a Facebook account until this all started. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be being interviewed on a podcast. So I'm just getting used to all this. I do have a website because I found out I needed one, but I'm just taking everything one step at a time to see where I go with it. So I do have the website, and my only interest right now is to get the message out, to get the messages that the loving spirits shared with me about heaven and us, that we're energy beings. There's a lot of important messages they gave that I know I didn't even get anywhere near touching on. So
your website's a work in progress, but what is your website? It will be growing.
Okay. It's lightworkermedium.com. So
fantastic.
So it's lightworkermedium.com. But on that note, I want to say, I have the word medium in there, but my interpretation now of the word medium is not probably what a lot of people think. It's not as if I communicate with other people's family members and things like that as a medium. My view of a medium is every human being is a medium, because we all communicate with spirit, whether we know it or not. It's a matter of opening up to it, and then to what level, what skill level and ability, then you begin communicating. So the word lightworker medium, I'm using it, but it's in a sense that I communicate with spirit, but now, because I put away the pendulum, I communicate through my heart. But I want everyone to know that I believe everyone is a medium. It's like a piano. I'm playing chopsticks right now because you communicate with the loving ancient spirits. I consider you a master pianist. You know, it's everyone, we have our own level. And kind of what I did, using the pendulum is almost like a player piano. It just was coming through me, but through a tool, you know. So I do want people to know that that's why I'm lightworker medium. And they told me because I was kind of surprised it was even available. I mean, I only got it not too long ago, and they said, "Oh yeah, we had that available for you."
Amazing how that works out, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm surprised that one was available too, because to be. Marlene, this has been such a joy chatting with you today, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you for this opportunity, Lisa.
100%.
Thank you so much. And once again, please visit Marlene's website, Lightworker Medium. You can also find her book on Amazon. I will have a link in the show notes so that you can directly go to her book or soon be able to listen to her Audible.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marlene. And thank you to all of you who have listened here today. Please like, please subscribe if you feel so guided. And so much love and so much blessings. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.